The following program is sponsored by Benveo.
This is Mind Your Business with Dr. Mark Lewandowski on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG.
Spreading the excitement of entrepreneurial growth all over Oklahoma.
Whether you want to start a business or grow a business, Dr. Mark is your go-to expert.
This show is all about you, and it starts right now.
On News 102.3 KRMG.
Hello, Oklahoma. Welcome to the Mind Your Business Show. I'm your host, Dr. Mark Lewandowski. This is the show that's all about you, the entrepreneur in the state of Oklahoma, doing amazing things. And today's show is absolutely no different. We've got amazing people coming in talking about the ideas they've had. You know, today's show is going to be really special because it's going to be a demonstration of somebody that bumped into a frustrating situation in their life, had an idea for a product, launched the product, and it has been an unbelievable success. The challenge with him is that his product is seasonal. Here we are. We're in October. We're butting up against the busiest purchasing season in the U.S. economy. Three large events that go on. Number one, there is Christmas that's coming, and it's just absolutely massive. And number two, the second largest holiday for shopping is not Valentine's Day, not Thanksgiving, not Father's Day or even Mother's Day, but Halloween. It is the second largest holiday for consumer spending, and here we got it. It's coming up at the end of October. So in October, you've got Halloween. At the end of December, you've got Christmas. And then 1/6 of all of the U.S. economy, all the dollars are spent in healthcare. 1/6 of every dollar is spent in healthcare, and renewal season in the beginning of the year, healthcare is going crazy. So there are businesses that are in consumer spending like Christmas, businesses like our special guest that's going to be here today that's building products for Halloween, and then people like me that are doing everything they can do to get ready for this one season in which you've got renewal season for healthcare. So there are those of us that are in this industry that have one time a year where we've got to be ready. And I want to go to this phrase. There was a lady named Agnes Hall that I worked with in New York, and she had been the president of the consulting division of Oracle out in San Francisco. And she had learned and been trained under Edward Deming. And she used to say, first we plan, then we do. That was what she said all the time. That's never been so important as a business that is seasonal. First you plan, then you do. There are two great challenges with seasonal businesses. Number one is you've got to make strong profits during the boom period. When you're selling it, you've got to be raking in those dollars, and you've got to make as much money as you can when times are good. And then next, when you're not selling, you've got to decrease your expenses and start planning. You know, Christmas sales, when you start Christmas sales in the mall, if you're one of those unique organizations that set up right in the middle of the hallway in the mall and you're selling products, those people sell really well. They make a lot of money during a very short period of time. But I promise you, they're not just working 2 or 3 months. They're doing an enormous amount of planning, ordering, getting their finances in order, making sure they have places to store and inventory their products. It is not easy, and it is not for the faint of heart. There are people that make a lot of money during the summer. Companies like lawn mowing services and people that rake your leaves. These are the people that store up a lot of revenue and a lot of money in a short period of time and then have to exist through the rest of the year. So the keys to those businesses are make strong profits when the times are good. You know, make hay while the sun is shining, as they say. And next, decrease your expenses so you can live and plan on what you've been doing. The keys to seasonal businesses: buy low, sell high, of course. And buying low is really about choosing your partners. And really part of that partnership choice is getting good advice. You're going to hear later from our special guest that one of the most important things he ever did was figure out the very best broker or consultant that can take him to the markets in China to be able to get the very best prices. You know, many people think because they're a very sophisticated or savvy person, they can just figure it out themselves. But there are times like when you're buying over overseas when you're getting injection molding or you're getting a product or you're getting tests, that there are certain times when you really need good advice and you need counsel. So buying low is really important and selling high is absolutely critical. Next, I'll say in seasonal businesses, probably the most important thing you can do is hire great people. You know, too often we think, well, this product will just sell itself. Well, that's baloney. Every product I know, every service I know has significant competition. And seasonal businesses are no different. You've got to hire great people. And when I'm talking about great people, I'm talking about things like attitude. Do they have a great attitude? Because in seasonal businesses, when things are hot, you're working your tail off and the hours are long. I remember my first job was in high school. I went to work for a suit store and I was selling super high-end suits, LeBaron and Corneliani, and very expensive things I could never afford. And I was selling these products. Well, when the selling season came, and that was really just before Thanksgiving all the way to Christmas, we were working from early in the morning till the very end when that store closed. And many times, if there were customers in the store, we would stay and keep selling. You got to sell while it's hot. So you had to have employees that had a great attitude, because people with bad attitudes won't work long, hard hours and deliver the goods. People with bad attitudes complain too much and then they lose sales. Next, great employees are great communicators. They're people that understand the nature of the business and they understand the people they're selling to. And they tell a story, they communicate according to the needs of the customer, not according to their own individual needs. And finally, I'll say, you got to find people in a seasonal business that are time flexible. They've got large open windows of time, because when things are good, you've got to take advantage of those. I'm going to talk about incentivizing employees for just a moment, because when things are good and people are really working hard and they're working long hours, you've got to create incentive programs in the form of contracts with employees and bonuses. Probably the most important thing you can do is create an incentive that says to somebody, hey, when things are really good, stay here, keep working, keep selling. You know, I know that when I'm selling and things are going great and people are buying, that's the time not to go home. When I have just closed the deal, that's when I've got some kind of unique amount of confidence. And the communication comes back so strongly that that's when I need to pick up the phone and call two or three more people. When you've just closed a really good deal, that's not when you go out for a beer. That's when you make five more phone calls. That's when you reach out to the person that's been extremely difficult to connect with. When you are hot, when you're on a roll, don't quit. When you're doing great, that's when you keep moving, and that's what you want out of your employees. Create incentives in the form of bonuses to keep going. Next, in order to be successful in selling businesses or selling products in a seasonal business, you got to save and invest for next year's inventory. This is really important, and where I see a lot of entrepreneurs fail is they say, God, that was so good. I'm going to spend this money. We had such a good first year that I can go to the financial markets and borrow money. That's not necessarily true. You know, in 2008, the financial markets crashed. If you had been relying on the financial markets instead of your own savings, you would have been in real trouble. You would not have been able to get the working capital line of credit that you need to go to the markets and get your products. You would have had to go to the financial markets and borrow money at a very high rate. Many times we call that the mezzanine rate. That's the highest level of rate for a short-term loan. Those mezz rates really cut down on your profitability. And remember, when you're working on a seasonal product, you've got to have you got to buy low and sell high. And if you're buying low, but you're paying an enormous amount of interest or cost for your funds, you're really eroding your margins. And those margins are what are going to keep you and hold you and sustain you until next year. Finally, I'm going to say this. Most entrepreneurs are so busy doing that they fail to track. And this is part of the planning process. You know, earlier I said, first we plan, then we do. Well, it's really important to track our results. And so part of the planning process is to say, right now, in our quiet time before the storm hits of selling, how are we going to track the activities that are most important? And how are we going to remember what we did well next year to make next year even better than this year? So it's really simple. If you're going to be a great seasonal company, you got to buy low, sell high. You got to hire great people. You've got to create really good incentives to keep them selling when selling's going great. You got to save money and invest for the future, and you got to track and see what works. You've got to have measurables, things that you can say, all right, next year, if we do these five things better, we're going to have an unbelievable year. I want to thank our special host, Benveo, the company that provides this show every week. Benveo is a third-party administrator in Tulsa that does employee benefits and health care for companies from 2 to 500. They've got an amazing portfolio of products, and if you're needing help, call Benveo. That's Benveo. We'll be right back after this break with our special guest. This is the Mind Your Business Show on News 102.3 KRMG. Welcome back to the Mind Your Business Show. I'm your host, Dr. Mark Lewandowski. This is the show that's all about you, entrepreneurs. And in the studio today, we've got a really exciting entrepreneur, a friend of mine named Joe Desher. Joe has a company called Easy Pumpkin, and we're going to get to him in just a second. But first, I've got to tell a story. When my daughter was young, every year we had this tradition. She and I would go out early and we would pick the biggest pumpkin. We get two or three pumpkins. We get a big pumpkin, great, knobby, ugly, tarnished, yucky pumpkin. And we would cut that pumpkin's top, clean it out, wash the seeds, bake the seeds, salt them like crazy. And while we were baking those seeds, we would carve pumpkins every year. It was the most exciting, probably for my daughter Leah and I, the most exciting tradition that we had. It was something that just she and I did. And then later on, I got her a little orange car, and we put on little sticky magnets to it to make that car look like a pumpkin during Halloween. But today, we've got a true seasonal entrepreneur, a person that has captivated a really great idea. He took an idea and he's taken it to market, and it is going gangbusters, and it's called Easy Pumpkin. Joe, welcome to the show.
Good to be here.
So excited that you're here. Tell us about Easy Pumpkin. What the heck is it?
Easy Pumpkin is a product that allows you to carve a pumpkin in a matter of seconds instead of a matter of hours. And as soon as you get it cut, it lasts all season. Doesn't shrivel and rot in the 80-degree heat that we have here in Oklahoma in October.
How do you keep a pumpkin from rotting?
Well, it's the face. On a traditional carved pumpkin, you're actually carving it to the flesh of the pumpkin. With this, it's a plastic insert, so the plastic, it never rots. It lasts for years and years and years.
How did you come up with this idea? Tell me a little bit about what this is, and how did you come up with the idea?
All right. Just like yourself, my family had me carve a bunch of pumpkins. And so what I would do is I would do intricately carved pumpkins with Pistol Pete, the Sooner Schooner, because my wife is an OU fan. And I would do about 10 of them a year. And I got tired of watching them shrivel and rot sitting on the porch within 2 to 3 days of carving. So I really couldn't do it until a couple of days before Halloween. So I said, there has to be a way that I could make something that will last all season. And that's where I came up with the idea.
So the idea is you've got a pumpkin, you cut a perfectly round hole, and you insert this pre-manufactured, amazing insert called the Easy Pumpkin, and then it glows and it's fabulous.
You put it on the pumpkin, trace out the circle. So that's where you get your circle that you have to cut out. You clean out the guts, so the family time is not lost. You still get to roast the seeds. You still get to play with the guts. So everything stays the same. The only thing that changes is the arduous task of doing the intricate carving. You know that that's the hardest part. There is the small cuts, the little knife, cutting your fingers up, because it's just such a little knife. So with this, all you do is after you cut the circle out and you pull out the guts, you throw a light in, pop it in, you're done.
Okay, so you have how many different designs?
We have 6 different designs this year.
So 6 different designs, and they insert in the pumpkin to create a jack-o'-lantern. They're fantastic. How did you come up with the 6 design types?
Well, we live in Oklahoma, and we were going for the collegiate licensing, which is not an easy thing to do. Less than 1% of people who apply for the collegiate licensing get it. So we were going to do the top 15 schools, but if we were to do all the top 15 merchandising schools, well, we might not have been approved and we would be stuck with all that inventory. So we said, well, we live in Oklahoma. It's football season, which is the perfect time of the year. Let's do OU, OSU, and then we'll do two generic Halloween concepts.
How have your sales gone so far?
We're doing very well. The thing is, though, it's a learning process because 30 years of ingrained stencils. Everyone thinks that everything is a stencil, 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 stencil. So when they see our product, they think you actually put it up against the pumpkin and trace it. Well, then we tell them, no, if it's just a circle, pop it in, you're done. And then they're sold on it and they just throw money at us. It's really that simple because they don't like the intricate carving and the time and then watching it rot.
So. This is really exciting because it's so simple and it takes so very little time. I'm looking at the back of the box and you've done a marvelous job communicating because one of your challenges you stated is people perceive it to be a stencil that they would use to lay over, trace, and then cut the pumpkin. And it's not. You cut a circle and you insert this. And so on the back, you've done a marvelous job showing very simply the three steps. Trace and cut a hole, drop in the light, and pop in the easy pumpkin. How did you come up with this idea? What were the steps for the entrepreneur to think through, okay, how do I make this super easy for my client?
Right, we had to sit down and we had to say, what's the fastest, quickest way that we could convey our message to people? And with the attention span that people have today of just clicking on videos that only last 10, 15 seconds, if it's longer than that, they lose interest. So we had to come up with a easy three-step process that captures their attention and explains it within a short matter of seconds.
Where does somebody get an easy pumpkin if they want to buy one?
We're at the fair, and so I don't know if that will still be going when this is on, but you can also go online, easypumpkin.com. We'll also be out at some of the pumpkin patches as well, and that's where you'd actually find them.
Okay, very good. So I want to ask about inventory. You know, when you started this as an entrepreneur, most entrepreneurs think, okay, I've got this great idea. I'm going to test it in the marketplace. How much money can I invest or how much can I put at risk? When you thought about this, what were some of the things you thought about, okay, how will this take off? How many do I buy? Where do I get them? What were some of those challenges?
Okay. That's a big challenge right there. How much do you buy with a product that has never been introduced to the market before, something that has no competition and you don't know anything about? So what we did is we just took a gamble and we thought about how many people fill up the stadium on a game day. And we parsed that down to, four or five people to a family, divided that. So that's how we came up with the initial order of the OSU and the OU. And then the rest was just blind faith. I went to Shark Tank open auditions in Vegas. And when I was there, they set you up in rows and you go up and you pitch your product for 1 minute in front of a producer. Well, there's five different tables. And when I went up to pitch mine, she shut me down within 5 seconds. She waited for the other four producers to finish up. They all came over to me. Then they got the executive producer over. And then they told me, you reinvented the wheel. So I kind of knew that the product right then was going to be a success.
Okay, great. Yeah. So you knew right then and there, you're like, oh my gosh, this is validation that I've got something. I've got a tiger by the tail.
Yeah. They said that they see about 40,000 inventions a year, and it's really not the novelness of the product. It's your personality that gets you on. They said that I've actually showed them a product that they've never seen before.
That's fantastic. And did you go on the show?
No, I got all the way up to the part of filming. And then that's when we had to take it to market. So that's when we decided to go on our own and see what we could do.
You know, by then you thought, I'm not giving away 50% of the equity in my business for a couple of dollars. This thing's going to take off. I'm running.
Exactly.
That's fantastic. When we come back in just a moment, I'm going to ask you some questions. One of the things that's I'm so excited about is that you got licensing to have OU and OSU and other universities. This thing could go nationally very quickly, and that's going to be a very exciting challenge and a big challenge. We're with our special guest, Joe Descher. This is the Mind Your Business Show on News 102.3 KRMG. Welcome back to the Mind Your Business Show. I'm your host, Dr. Mark Lewandowski. This is the show that's about entrepreneurs. And in the studio today, we've got an amazing entrepreneur, Joe Descher. He's got a product called Easy Pumpkin, and it has been radically successful. Joe, thanks for being here on the show today.
I'm just glad that you had me.
So, Joe, earlier in the show, you said that you went to the markets and you tried to get licensing to have OSU and OU as part of your primary launch this first year of the launch of the Easy Pumpkin, and you got it. You got the licensing rights, plus you have other universities that you could do in next season.
We have nationwide. Usually when you get the collegiate licensing, they start local. So they just give you the local schools around your area. If you do well with the product, then they'll expand regionally. And then if that goes well, they'll kick open the doors and give you national. They said our product is so novel, no competition. They've never seen anything like it. They went ahead and gave us nationwide right out of the chute.
So how do you go about figuring out which are the next markets you want to go into?
Analysis. What we do is we look online and we see which school marketing-wise and merchandising-wise spends the most money on product. And it gives you a list of the top 50 schools and how much merchandising that they buy. Well, that's your target right there. So we're just not out willy-nilly saying, oh, West Texas State or North Texas. Not saying anything about schools, but you know, you want the schools that are buying product. And so that's how we saw which our next 15 schools are going to be.
Yeah, you want schools like, you know, Michigan, Notre Dame. You want the ones that have a really big drawing population.
Texas.
Who are some of the biggest schools that you would think, okay, these are ones we absolutely have to go after?
Believe it or not, the top 10, five of them are SEC schools. Your Alabama, your Clemson, your LSU, your Auburns. Then it's Texas, Notre Dame, Michigan, Ohio State. We actually were invited to, it's called Circleville Pumpkin Festival. It's in Circleville, Ohio. It's the largest pumpkin festival in the whole world. 500,000 people go through it at 4 days. Well, they came across our product, and it's very hard to get into. And they sent an invitation to us, and they asked us to go up there and be part of it.
So next year, will you be showing up with Ohio State?
Next year we will, but we actually have to go up this year. So we're just going up with our generic haunted house in our boo because they want us there as a place saver. They want us there so we can get acclimated to the environment, to the people, and to set up our booth. And so we're there for years and years and years.
Now, how did you go about getting the licensing to use universities as part of your logos?
We had to – it's a very arduous process. Probably about 200 pages of – questionnaires of marketing. You have to show them your product. You have to show them red lines of it. You have to get signed off to get prototypes. You can't just go out there and say, okay, I'm going to make an OSU, OU, and Ohio State. You have to go get approval from the university before you can go have the prototypes made, especially in China, because most of the nowadays, most of the manufacturers in China won't do a logo that has to be licensed until you give them approval from the university or whoever you're getting it from.
Well, let's talk a little bit about production. You have these produced in China,
yes,
which is very common because that's where there's a lot of this great plastic injection molding type of activity, plus all the packaging. They're amazing at putting the packaging together, and the options are endless. What kind of packaging? How did you connect with China? How did you determine who's going to manufacture this product? Did you use a broker? Did you go outside through, you know, use your own connections into China? How did that process work?
Okay, when I first started it, I did it myself, which was a big mistake. I went over there thinking that I could just walk up to a manufacturing place and they'll just throw open their doors and give me the best deals and walk me through the process. Well, they don't. They took advantage of me. I was paying $20,000 per a prototype. They were cutting them out of a piece of wood and giving it to me. It wasn't even anything close to the product that I was wanting to be built. So when I went to the next step, I actually found a broker that is doing all the private labeling for Kmart, Walmart, Target, things of that nature. So that really eased the pain. The same prototype I was getting for $20,000, well, now I was getting it for $1,500 for the mold. And if I ordered enough product, it was free. So that's the difference between trying to go it alone and not knowing what you're doing and actually lining up people who are experts in the field and doing it.
Would there have been places where you could have gone and read and educated yourself that you found now about those kinds of process, like how to get injected molding prototypes from China, those kind of things, or broker communications?
Broker communications. Yes, there's plenty of companies that are reputable that if I just would have did my research, I would have found them a lot sooner.
Now, so many entrepreneurs think they're going to come up with a great idea and they're going to get it immediately distributed through every Walmart, every Target. And has that been something you've considered doing?
I have never considered. I have considered for about half a second about the wholesaling, but I believe that the product is a standalone product, and I think that once we get the different, like Disney, Marvel, Universal, I think the product's going to sell itself. So I didn't want to saddle myself with having to attach myself to a Walmart just making wholesale fee when I could just sell at retail and accumulate most of the profit.
So let's talk just a second about Disney. You've thought about having Disney characters as part of some of your molds, yes, and some of your designs. How do you go about that process, and how do you pay for that?
You have to reach out to their licensing department, and it's a couple of year steps. It takes years to actually go through all the process of getting set up with them. You have to do proof of concept. You have to do the artwork. It has to be an image that is within 10%, within 95% likeness of what the character is. So it can't kind of look like the character. It almost has to be spot on. So it's a lot of back and forth, and it's very hard to do because they won't just let any product go out the door unless it is holding up their standards.
In those standards, that image, they own it. That's their, they own the rights to that. And when you license it, you're going to pay for that. What is the, what does that look like as far as paying for designs like an OU or an OSU or Oklahoma State, Ohio State, or even a Mickey Mouse?
The Collegian, it's a little convoluted because each university has their own percentage set up. Oklahoma and OSU is around the 12 to 15%, Texas 25, Notre Dame 30. It's a bag full. You just don't know what it's going to be. So you have to have a really good back end to be able to take care of all the accounting on it. The Disney, they actually put their logo on it. It's a Disney product from then on when you sell the Disney rights. So you are doing kind of like a consignment, and it's percentages that you split.
So I would imagine in your analysis of a market to go after, you're going to take into account, okay, I've got certain amount of money in cost, and then here's what it's going to retail. And if I have to give a licensing fee to the university, what are the markets I want to go into?
Exactly. And then that sets our price point as well. Since we have to pay royalties and licensing fees, well, we have to charge a little bit more for the collegiate ones instead of the generic Halloween designs.
So, you know, this is it's interesting that Halloween has now become the second largest consumer spending holiday in the United States. Christmas by far number one. Number two is Halloween because there's so many costumes and candy and decorations, and there's so many parties and fun events. This is a enormous marketplace, but it's all one day. It all comes together in a very short period of time. You know, one of the things we talk about on the show all the time is first we plan, then we do. This had to be an enormous amount of planning in order for you to get product into Los Angeles, into Oklahoma, on the streets in time to make this very small time pie of the end of October.
Yes. And what I'd say, especially on a seasonal product, which I've never done before, do your planning, but make sure that you're versatile enough to change that plan. Because what we have found out is a lot of people don't buy their pumpkins until a couple of weeks before. So we were trying to sell into September, but that there's just no market yet.
Okay.
You know, no pumpkins, right. No pumpkin carving. And then also in your marketing, know if your marketing is working. Well, we were just showing static pictures of the product already in a pumpkin. Well, it looks like it's a carved pumpkin. And so it looks like somebody used a stencil on it. So what we've realized now is we have to do videos, and we have to show videos of the product actually using and being made so they can make that distinction between, oh, a revolutionary new product that makes it so super easy for me as opposed to the old stencil where I still have to do all the work, and then it's still not going to look like what I want it to look like, and it's going to rot within 2 days.
So as part of being an entrepreneur in this environment is you got a plan, you got to be super creative, but then you've got to have a backup plan. You get these things manufactured in China, and China has holidays. They have seasons in which they're in mass production. When do you start producing a product in China in order to have it on ground in Oklahoma for selling?
We'll start sending our orders for next year in November and December, so they're shipping by June, July. January into February is pretty much a dead time because of the Chinese New Year.
Yeah, the Chinese New Year, they do all the, they tear down their plants, clean things, get ready for manufacturing. But there's very few, there's little or no production that's going on during that period of time.
I say no production.
So you're starting April, May, June, and getting ready way in advance.
Yeah, we're getting product delivered by July.
Okay.
And we learned that this year because our product was held up in China. We missed the boat because a Walmart order jumped us. So it was sitting there, and we had to pay extra money just to get it over here in time for Halloween.
Wow, amazing that you bumped into Walmart and got bumped out of the way.
Yeah, we lost.
How many units will you be preparing to sell for next year?
Preliminary, we're looking at about 600,000 to 700,000 units.
600,000 or 700,000 units next year. Well, that is fantastic. That is really exciting. This is an idea that just came to you out of the frustration of having to carve a pumpkin. I mean, the enjoyment of carving a pumpkin, but the frustration of it rotting.
Yes. Watching your hard work disappear.
Well, thank you so much, Joe, for being our special guest today. We're super excited about Easy Pumpkin and wish you the very best as you take the marketplace in pumpkins. This is the Mind Your Business Show on News 102.3 KRMG. Welcome back to the Mind Your Business Show. I'm your host, Dr. Mark Lewandowski. This show has been exciting. I mean, imagine what Joe Descher did for Easy Pumpkin. He had the frustration of watching his artistic jack-o'-lanterns melt in front of his very eyes in the heat of Oklahoma. You know, I remember years ago, I had a golf tournament on October 31st, and I invited people from all over the country to my golf tournament. Well, we knew it was going to be a cold fall day, so we ordered black long-sleeve golf shirts. Well, it was 93 degrees that day, so you know that Joe's frustration is real. You don't know in Oklahoma whether your pumpkin is going to melt in the sun at 93 degrees or freeze at 12 degrees. You know, it could just be that way. I'm looking at his products. He's left the studio and Debbie Redwine's in the studio with me, our executive producer. We've got an amazing host of Easy Pumpkins that he left us. This is really exciting stuff because this is exactly what we're talking about. Somebody that's got an idea and they're just crazy enough to bet it all and go for it.
And you know what? This is a perfect example of somebody that had a problem in their life. They thought about it. They came up with a solution and they did something about it. They weren't lazy sitting on the porch thinking, I'm so mad that I carved out that OU pumpkin and now it just looks awful. They said, what can I do to fix this problem? Because my family every year wants to carve 10 pumpkins. I can figure out a way to fix this. And then went to market with it. This is incredible.
The one thing I want to say, this is probably the most important thing that we'll talk about in this whole hour, is that most people believe that the other person is smarter and more talented and more creative than themselves. Mm-hmm. So when somebody comes up with an idea like this, most people say, you know what? If it was that good of an idea, somebody else would have thought about it.
Right.
Or certainly somebody else has already done this. And here's an example of a guy that said, I've got an idea and I don't see anything out there like it.
Right.
I'm going to do it. I'm just going to be that crazy, that arrogant, that confident, that risky, and I'm going to go do this thing.
That's right. Just because it's 2018 doesn't mean every great business idea has already been thought of. They haven't been thought of. There's always going to be another idea. There's always going to be something that comes behind what everybody's doing now. There's always going to be something new. Look at the typewriter story that you told before on a show of how we went from the typewriter to the computer. Everything's going to evolve. Pumpkins are going to be big. Halloween's bigger than it's ever been. It's the second biggest holiday now in sales for candy and pumpkins and Halloween decorations. People start decorating their yards a month before Halloween just for one day. It's
crazy. You
know,
the thing I loved about his story is that when he went to Shark Tank and he realized just how good his idea was, and he was standing there thinking, I either need to go back home and sell these things or I need to stay here and be on the show. I don't need to give away 50% of the equity in my company for $1 million of startup capital from one of these sharks.
No.
I know this thing's going to work.
Right.
And so he did the right thing. He validated his idea. Mm-hmm. He knew the idea was going to be a winner, and then he left.
Yes.
And he went and did it on his own. I think he's going to be thrilled. I mean, here's a guy that's got 100% of the equity in his business. It's going to take off. The only thing that he's got to worry about is how does he manage opportunity.
Yes. And I think when Cuban starts ordering a bunch of pumpkins for the Mavericks and they're selling them in his store, he's going to think, man, I wish Mr. Wonderful and I would have bought into this company and he would have got on the show. But Joe's going to have the last laugh because Joe did all the work himself.
Won't it be funny if the Dallas Maverick logo is the number one seller and Cuban didn't have an opportunity to buy this company?
That would be crazy.
It would have been better had he been on the Shark Tank and Cuban say, this isn't a great idea. But then he sells it and the Mavericks are just going like
the number one sales.
Yes. You know that a Longhorn pumpkin is just going to sell like crazy.
Oh, yes.
It's going to be a simple logo that everybody can design and be really, really neat. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about this for Joe because this is a Tulsa-based entrepreneur, a guy right here, normal person that you and I bump into all the time. And he had an idea and he had the belief in it and he went to do it. Very exciting. That's what this show's all about. That's what being an entrepreneur is all about.
Yes, it is.
Having an idea and having the courage to run with your idea. And take it to market.
Right. And not give up. Just keep going. Figure out what you need to do. And then when you stumble and you fall, you get up, you brush off your knee pants, and you just keep going. You just keep going and keep fighting. And he's done it.
You know, this is pretty exciting. I mean, every time we do the show, there's times where you'd like to say, you know, I would like to have had that 1 minute back where I didn't communicate that great. But the idea, it doesn't matter, really matter how well we present the idea. These people that show up as our guests, these are outstanding people.
Yes, they
They're people. We've had Jeff Walker on the show, who was one of the founders of Oracle. Mm-hmm. We've had the guy, my friend, Chad Potter, that started Drywall Specialist. And now he owns multiple businesses down in the Pearl District. Mm-hmm. We've got Joe Desher. We've had people that are on the show that are growing as the executive director of a nonprofit organizations. We've had Perry Farmer on the show, who is the owner of the largest privately held hospice in the United States. Mm-hmm. These are people that the listener can listen to and really glean insight.
Right. Roofers, bankers, it doesn't matter. These people are all successful because they care and they work hard to please their customers.
Yeah, it's very exciting that you said work hard because that's one of the keys. These are not, they've not relied on luck. They've relied on hard work and they're sharing their experiences on drmarklew.com. I want to tell you that we've got a website called drmarklew.com that allows you to go on and listen to this kind of content. Mm-hmm. You can listen to any one of our presentations, podcasts, and there's blogs, but there's the radio shows from KRMG. And these are the things that we're leaving as a gift back to the entrepreneur community, because when somebody realizes that they need help and they need understanding, they need guidance, they need direction, they need some insights from others, this is where they can go to get it. Years ago, I was lucky enough to be mentored by one of the great entrepreneurs of our time, Eugene Swearingen, economist from Stanford University. He just understood business and he understood how to help me see opportunities everywhere I turn. Well, today, Joe Desher saw an opportunity, took advantage of it, and now we've got Easy Pumpkin.
And they're fantastic.
I want to thank KRMG for letting us do this show. We're very excited to be on the show every Sunday at 5 o'clock. This is the Mind Your Business Show. I'll see you next week. This is Mark Lewandowski.